Hey, this is H1. We're going to be running it back with another episode. This is going to be the first time P-Money has been a guest on the podcast, so stay tuned. If you don't know who P-Money is, that is my big bro. I explained how he was a crucial part in learning how to play chess in the first episode, so watch that first episode first before you come on, or if you don't even feel like doing that, then just listen on this episode, because I don't want you to be going anywhere else watching stuff on Netflix or something, because this is really important for you to get this knowledge, and maybe you might catch something in this interview that will get you to the level that will make you the best player in the world, to make you better than Magnus Carlsen, to make you better than Bobby Fischer. Yeah, I just escalated that to a whole new... I escalated that. It's no big deal. No big deal. But anyway, hey, listen in and hey, follow me to the next segment.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey, this is H1. We're going to be running it back with another episode, learning about chess knowledge, chess wisdom, chess understanding. And today we have a guest here, which is, he's been in my life for a while now. And you know what? He taught me chess. He taught me everything that I know. And it's my big brother. And I talked about him the past few episodes, in the last episodes. Actually, in the very first episode, I talked about how he was a crucial part and me learning how to play chess. And I know a lot of people wanted me to get him on the podcast. So here he is, P-Money.
What's P-Money. Up, man? P-Money, what's happening?
Hey, nothing much. Hey, that's cool, bro. I'm glad that you can be here as a guest. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Thank you for having me. Glad to be able to be here with you and experience this journey with you, man.
Sure, that's cool, man. And you know what? I don't think I have never asked you how you started your chess journey, but like I know how like you taught me, and like it was a rough time losing like the whole first year. You didn't have any problem beating your little brother every single day, you know?
Like, right.
But that was crazy. Right. But like, you know what? Let's just start from the beginning. Like, what like grade did you learn how to play chess, or did you get started in playing chess, man?
I started playing chess in fourth grade. I was 9 years old. And basically, the way I got into it, I remember I got in trouble in class. So it was me and three other boys. We all got in trouble. And so the punishment was to meet with Mr. Lee. And so what Mr. Lee decided to do was have us come over. It was like a sleepover, and you know, just kind of be there, you know, be like a father figure, because you know, we didn't have that in our homes. And so what ended up happening, he starts playing, he pulls up this game, and you know, I'm looking at him, he's teaching us all how to play. And so we just learned, you know, some basics, you know, basic moves, how the pieces move and stuff like that. And since then, just stuck with it.
Dude, that's crazy. Yeah, I met Mr. Lee, man. He's pretty good. Yeah. He's pretty good. Yeah. He taught me some things too about, I always used to remember, he taught me how to always activate my pieces, develop all the pieces and things of that nature. He's probably better in the years that I learned than probably back then, but still, you know, yeah, that's dope that you had somebody to teach you how to play chess. Shoot. So you was playing chess in fourth grade, and then after that, was there like a space where you just didn't play chess at all, or
so there was a long time period where, you know, just even though I wanted to play, there's nobody to play with. You know what I mean? So I learned in fourth grade, and I didn't play chess again until high school. So we're talking, how long is that? It's a long time. I picked it back up in 10th grade. And so that's when I started playing. That's when I started playing again. And it's just been, you know, until I got you to play. Mm-hmm. So now that I got, you know, once I got to have you playing, then it became all right, I can play more often. But between fourth grade and 10th grade, so 6 years, mm-hmm. I didn't even play.
You found some competition in 10th grade? You found some competition in high school?
Yeah, in high school. We had a teacher, she meant well, and she wanted us to, you know, make a chess club, which was cool, you know. I found out there was other kids that played chess, so I was like, all right, I'm with it. And she wanted to, like, form an actual club and let us go on tournaments and things, but because she was a woman and we were boy students, you know, they said no to that. But it was cool to just, you know, meet other kids that knew how to play chess.
Yeah, that's dope. Shoot, that was probably the era when, like, chess was still for nerds too, probably.
Yeah. That was definitely the time when you said, he was like, yeah, I play chess. And they were like, oh, chess, yeah, that's an old man game. I play checkers.
Yeah.
You get that response.
Yeah, I don't know why people still be playing checkers for real. I don't get that. But yeah, that's crazy.
It's easier. It's a lot easier.
That is true. Yeah. I guess in chess you have to learn 6 different pieces, how they move, and then checkers is just, yeah, each piece, you just jumping over. Yeah, you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. But So you didn't have the opportunity to go out to tournaments because you had a woman teacher. And then, so after high school, you picked it up. So I remember it was just a random day that I seen you go out to the libraries and things of that nature. But like, when did you, I never really asked you, when did you like actually start like doing that?
So let's see here. This is probably around the time I started teaching you, because I remember going to the library one day, and this is when I met Mr. Lee's counterpart, who actually ran tournaments for a local school gathering, you know, local school group. And I met him, and he had me play one of his students. And at the time, I'm taking it, this is probably his best student. And of course, you know, I beat him, you know, it wasn't no big deal. He asked me, you know, well, who taught me how to play? And that's when I told him Mr. Lee taught me. And he just, you know, he asked me if I wanted to start teaching it. And so that got me back into chess, you mm-hmm. know. And just that just all happened to be at the same time where me and you would go to the library. And you would watch me play, and then you turn around and ask me one day, well, can I play with you? I'm like, you don't know how to play this game.
So, man, yeah, how do you feel like just seeing your little brother just one day just ask you, like, basically how to play chess? Because from my perspective, I know we used to have, like, a glass chessboard. So when I seen you playing chess, I was like, I wanted to play chess, you know? I wanted to learn this game. And at the time, I only knew how to pawns move. So I didn't know anything. So I remember you bringing me to the library for the first time to learn how to play chess. So
yeah,
shoot.
So teaching you, it was really cool because you know, we have other siblings, and I didn't feel like, as the big brother, we're closer in age. So as a big brother, I didn't really show them anything. So it was cool to have those moments with you because we have, you know, a much larger gap between our ages. So we're able to do, you know, a lot more, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's, so it was a very cool time for us to bond and not just go watch movies and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh man, the movies.
Yeah,
going to see. Yeah, Ratatouille, Chicken Little.
Chicken Little. Yeah. We see Chicken Little twice.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was more than that, man. Man, you was wasting money, bro. Like yeah, for real.
Come on. You gotta warm me with that one. Oh, I wasn't expecting that. Yeah. But yeah, definitely. Wasting money. Yep.
Dude, yeah, we went out we a did, lot.
We did eat though. We did eat at a discount.
It was another chicken place, wasn't that Go Chicken?
No,
no, it wasn't there. Yeah, okay.
No.
Yeah, we had some good times back then.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
Daddy, so, remember playing the arcade at the pizza places too.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh yeah, we went to Pizza Street. Yeah.
Yep.
And it was.
Yep. Yep.
What was the? I remember their slogan. It was
are they getting great pieces, great price?
Yeah. And then it was I don't know. $5.99 or something to get all you can eat. Yeah.
All you can eat, yep.
Yeah, it's more expensive nowadays. Yeah. It's crazy. But so you started as a grown up, what was your first I remember my first chess tournament. What was your first chess tournament? As a grown up,
My first chess tournament as a grown up would be one of the tournaments that the local group I was talking about earlier threw. Mm-hmm. And this was, I think you were coming along in your chess career, to the point where in this tournament they had three different divisions, and you were like, I'm gonna play in the open division. Okay. So you play in the open division, and of course I'm playing in the open division.
Yeah.
And so you know, it gets down to it, and who's left for the final match? But me and you. So, you know, me and you are about duking it out for the first and second place.
And
sure enough, I would not have guessed in a million years you would have beat me to take first, and I'll take second. So,
hey man, that just, you know what? It's cool because that just means that you was a good teacher. Because, dude, I know people probably think that I'm lying when I say this, but my whole first year, P Money had no problem whooping my tail every single day, and
you remember the way to be? I hit the pieces.
Yeah.
That when I took your pieces.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Every time you took my queen, it was always a depressing moment. Like it was super depressing.
Not the somber music.
Yeah, it was super depressing, and man, I just see my pieces just flying off, and then at the school we was taught to finish the game all the way out, so there's no resigning. I just have to finish the game. And it was crazy. So during that time, that first year, was I even progressing at all? Like, was I getting harder?
I mean,
when time passed,
so I would say you definitely progressed, especially when it came to like playing against kids, right? Because you played in those the school tournaments.
Right.
But there did come a time where it was, you know, when me and you were playing, or when we went to the library and played, and then you can see the transition and the way that you start playing, and then you developed your own playing style.
This is the waiting room segment, Chess Jokes by H1. And the joke of today is, why did the pirates raid the chess tournament? Well, they were looking for a treasure chest. A treasure chest. a treasure chest. Thank you for listening.
And I remember, you know, we went to a particular library and we started playing with another guy who used to box. I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah, I remember him.
And so we played with him. We played with him a lot. And that's when he started talking to us about, you know, grandmasters and the way that they played. And then he talked about our different playing styles. So,
you definitely
had growth.
Man, I remember the time where we thought that the only grandmaster was John Swayskin.
Oh man, yeah, that was nuts.
Yeah, we was not cultured at all, man.
No,
yeah.
at all. No.
Yeah, nobody told us.
I don't even think we watched the movie Search for Bobby Fischer.
Yeah, we just had the stupid chess master. It's not stupid, but the dang platform, the chess master platform. And I was like, oh, Josh Waiskin. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was the only thing that I had. And so, what was the other one? I remember you had a DVD. It was a DVD.
That was
Sarawan.
Sarawan. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. No. You know, I still have not watched that DVD to this day.
Oh my. It's funny that you say that, because that DVD changed my whole perspective on chess. It's funny.
Oh, I gotta watch it now. Okay.
Yeah.
I gotta watch.
He's a really good teacher, man. I can't believe, dude, it's been like a decade.
It's at least a decade. And I have yet to watch it. Yep.
Bro. Yeah, you gotta.
But
watch
you
it.
Do realize in that whole decade, I got married and had kids and
all that. No,
you
excuses,
know where my
bro.
Time goes now.
No excuses. You can watch them with your kids now; they're old enough.
Look at that. Good idea, H1.
Yeah, exactly.
Good idea.
Yeah. There you go. Shoot, he was a good teacher. But yeah, that was the only two grandmasters that we had that I had in mind. I was like, oh snap, that was it. I didn't even know anything about Magnus Carlsen or all these other grandmasters. No, and Bobby Fischer. Yeah.
Bobby Fischer.
Yeah.
The grandmaster I really liked learning about was McCall Tall.
Yeah.
Something about, I mean, I understand that his style of play would not last in today's.
Not at all.
You know, you can't just be sacrificing pieces and don't have a follow. Yeah, that'll get ate up today.
Yeah.
I really like that style, because just to you know, give somebody the impression that you're giving them a piece and then you come back and either win the game or capitalize even more. Like, I love that style of playing.
Yeah, I've seen some interviews. They said that when they were sitting across the board from them, they said that they was intimidated by him, so, you know, scared of him.
I guess that could play the part too, though.
Yeah, for real. And so, you know what? What was the thing? What was I gonna say? So back to that whole year of just practicing chess. Do you remember that opening that we started out on?
Oh my gosh! Yes, the double team kettle. Oh, so bad. It was so bad.
We thought that was the best opening in the world.
And
the sad part is, I got a lot of wins with that opening too. You know,
yeah.
Facing other kids. Like, it was easy. No doubt about it. It was easy. It just wasn't the best.
It's not the best. Absolutely not. I mean, it's cool to be able to defend the middle board with your bishops from a distance. But man, as you learn, you know, openings and you go against more experienced players, man, they will smother you in that space.
For real. Man, that double fee and kettle was something else. So I remember the day that you switched up your playing style and started like doing actual openings instead of the double fiend kettle, because we had it in our brains so much where we was always trading our bishops. We would have the queen to protect our fiend kettle bishop, and we would trade off. Yep. We had a lot of games in that opening. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, but you know, the cool thing about chess is that you can, you know, there's just not, it's not just one way, you know, to play it. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have all these different openings, you know, and the thing that I really like about the game of chess is that it's a battle of minds, you know, it's a battle of minds, a battle of wits. Who's going to fold under the pressure? You know, who's going to come out victorious? So, yeah, you know, realizing that the double fiend kettle is not working against other players, like it might work against you, but it's not working against other players at the library. And so I had to switch up the way I played, because I will never forget this day. I was playing against a guy and I'm smothered because I'm like, what do I do next? And I'm touching every piece. I'm like, should I move this? Nope. Should I move this? Nope. Should I move this? And he asked me, he goes, how long have you been playing chess? And I said, I was like, you know, 12 years. And then, you know, we finished off the game. And that question rung out to me. Like, why did he ask me that? And so when I played in my first tournament, you know, when you touch a piece in a tournament, you got to move that piece. Mm-hmm. So he's asking me how long I played, because I'm touching all my pieces, because I'm like, I don't know what to move. Mm-hmm. And so from there, I was like, you know what? I'm not doing that opening ever again. I'm going to actually learn how to play chess. Like, I'm not doing that no more.
Sure. Hey, man. Oh, what's your favorite opening nowadays?
If I'm playing white, just a basic, you know, king's pawn, knight, bishop, castle. Just basic. If I want to get a little fancy, then I'll probably go with the English opening. Black is always Sicilian. Always. I don't play nothing else other than Sicilian.
Hey, man, that's the best way to face them. E4. The best way.
Yeah. Yeah. So Sicilian, it just depends. You know what? Going back to, no. I would say my favorite opening with white is Rory Lopez Spanish. Mm-hmm. Just because it's like, it's in your face. And it's constant. It's like, you know, attack and attack.
Yeah.
That fits my style of playing. So Rory Lopez Spanish white, and then Sicilian. I've been a lot doing the dragon variation a lot, so yeah. That's where I'm at right now.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
I'm not ever gonna talk about it. I'm not ever
talking. Hey, look, this is a fun fact. I did not start playing the Sicilian dragon variation because, you know, it's because I like it, but I also, the opening I wanted to learn is the Carol Khan defense. And the only reason I wanted to learn that defense is because you played it a lot, and you were like beating me in games that we played. I'm like, I gotta learn this defense. I gotta learn how to beat it.
Dude, man.
So the Carol Khan is like my second that I like to play now.
Man, I used to play the Carol Khan so much until I stopped being a wimp.
That's cold, man.
I'm just saying how it is. Just some variations in the Carol Khan. I played it out. I lost a lot. The reason why I stopped playing the Carol Khan is because I almost lost a game at a tournament, and it was a 2-hour game. Like, I was getting demolished until like a guy, he didn't see checkmate for some reason, and I checkmated him. But I was like, okay, I'm afraid to play the Carol Khan at this tournament. And if I'm afraid to play the opening, then I shouldn't be playing it. And so that's why I stopped. That was my logic as a teenager, because I didn't have enough time to, I just wanted to be as efficient as possible. So yeah, that's why I stopped playing that opening. Yeah. But after the double fiend kettle, we started playing E4, E5, like the standard, what everybody played at every single tournament. Yeah. So, okay, I understand that you didn't know what touch move, the rule was to touch move. What was your first encounter with the clocks? Because it took me a while to get used to it. with the chess clocks. Do you remember? Did you even have a problem?
No, and the only reason why I didn't have a problem with the clocks is because I always like to play speed chess anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, I play fast anyway. So, you know, introducing the clocks wasn't an issue. You know, I think the biggest issue was probably just making sure you hit the clock with the same hand you move a piece with. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's it. Other than that, I mean, playing with clocks is my preferred way of playing now. So,
right. Okay. Yeah. Shoot. That's cool. Man, you had a long chess journey, just like you said. You've probably been playing for about, been enjoying chess for about 15.
I've known how to play for 20 something years. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like doing the math. 26 years. Right.
Yeah.
I've known how to play for 26 years. I've actually been playing. I'm not going to include the time. The time that I've actually started playing is when I started teaching you. So from that time to now, you know, is when I've been actually like playing. So let's see. You've been playing for a little over 10 years.
Right.
Yeah.
A little bit over. That's just, so I've been playing for about 14 years now. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's how long I've been actually playing, but I've known how to play for a while. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Man.
So, and then, you know, the goal now is just to get back to where I'm beating you more consistently.
Good luck with that one, man.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I'll tell you what,
I'm always watching your games.
Yeah,
me too. I'll be watching your games, man. I see your games on Lee Chess, and I'm just like, I didn't even see that. I didn't think of that. Like,
yeah.
You know, one thing that I learned from you, it's funny that, you know, I learned from you, but it's moving my knight backwards, right? So yeah. I've seen games where you put your knight on the edge, and then you bring them back to that, like, you know, B2, right. Or and then push them somewhere else. And I'm like, I've never thought to do that. Like, I always kept them in the middle because of the fact that, you know, the rule, a knight on the edge is dead. So, you know, you gotta put them on the edge. But and when I seen you navigating, I'm like, I can do that.
Yeah, I know. Man, you just learn some tricks as you get better and like trying to put your pieces on the right squares and things of that nature.
Yep.
If you have time. Like, you don't just want to put your knight on the edge and then just have it sit there and doing nothing, just being stupid.
Right, right.
No. So I treat the pieces like a family always. And I tell my viewers that too. You know, you want all your kids to have a good, stable job. You know what I mean? Like something important, you know, just treat them as a family. You don't want them to be pretty much losers. Just to be.
Look, cue motivation music. Motivation music.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, bro. Shoot. Oh man. Yeah, that's how I treat it, you know. Just make sure that every piece has a job, and if they're not doing their job, then trade that piece off because they're useless. Okay. So, you know, that might sound really harsh. That might sound really harsh.
Yo, I gotta tell my niece about her dad. He's just gonna replace you.
Be like, you're gonna have another brother soon.
This guy.
No, I'm just. That's horrible. Yeah, that's horrible. But clearly chess is separate from real life in that aspect, you know. And right, chess is you know, you're just like Bobby Fischer said, you're trying to destroy your opponent's mind, and you have to be efficient of doing that. Yeah. And that's the whole goal, you know, when you win a chess game. So what would be your top three tips you would give somebody who is starting out playing chess?
Top three. Number one, and I drilled this into you, is to play the board, not your opponent. Mm-hmm. Play the board. Because when I was taught, And, you know, I was taught, and it's, you're a lot of trash talk when you playing, right?
Right.
Play the board. Don't play your, you know, you play the board, because a good move is a good move, bottom line. And your opponent knows that, but they will talk to you as if it was a bad move and make you, they're trying to get in your head. So play the board. That's definitely number one. Right. Number two, I would say, don't be afraid to try stuff, you know, don't be afraid to try things. One thing that you do a lot of that I see is that you go back and revisit some of your games, and like you know, you're like, well, what if I do this move, right? Or what would happen if I wanted to do this? And there's matches, you know, that you play and you're like, you're thinking, but yet because you're on a time crunch, you don't make that move. So go back and try those things, or just play games and try new things. You know, don't be afraid to venture out and learn new things. And number three is tactics. You have to know tactics. Chess is all about tactics.
Yeah.
You know, you learn those tactics and you use them. Use them to the best of your ability. Yeah.
You know, you can go really far with just learning tactics. Man, I've seen some kids straight up really good at tactics. Their rating is like 1700 because of tactics. And like, their strategy is not up to par, but their tactics are on point. Like, when they get into some stressful situations, they know how to calculate and do the process, the thought process that I always talk about and everything. You know, so yeah, tactics is really important. Yeah, that's a pretty good three tips.
Yeah, man.
I know you've been a coach for, you was teaching chess for a while too. Yeah.
Yeah, I had you there to motivate.
Yeah, I know. That gave me enough time to practice too. Yeah, teaching chess and playing chess at the same time. Yeah. Shoot.
Yep.
Dude,
and to think that I did it for free too. I had you working for free. That's crazy. Ooh, like, man.
It was fun though. I enjoyed it. I was like, you know, hey, teaching kids how to play chess, it kind of helped me reconfirm some things and not forget stuff too when I'm teaching at the same time of learning stuff, because I will learn stuff on my PlayStation 2 on Chessmaster. And then I'll go out with you to teach stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, I could just teach the stuff that I'm learning. And there you go. And we had some pretty good kids, which in that time, what was my age? I think I was in sixth grade. The kids was like in elementary school. I think we went to one middle school, maybe.
No. I don't think we did any middle school. So we didn't do any.
Okay. Yeah. That just made it easier. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm just going to talk about it, man. You should have chopped my hair off, bro. Like, for real.
Oh, my God.
I'm putting this on the episode, bro.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right, Fonte, I'm going to share that picture. I'm going to share that picture to your viewers and fans, man.
Bro, I had an afro. And braids.
That was a rough year for you.
Winning chess tournaments. And that didn't have to happen, bro.
It didn't. However,
I was with you the entire time. At one time you could have just took me to the barbershop without my mom's permission, right? You know?
And we both would be missing. We wouldn't be here having this conversation.
Out of all those Chicken Little movies, you know. You couldn't take me to the barbershop one time.
I don't know, man. I like life. I choose life.
Man.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. when you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
This is the waiting room segment. Chess quotes by H1. And the quote of today is, make sure that you trade your time for the things that really matter, because life is precious. Thank you for listening. Hey, bro, this was cool. Hey, I got one fun segment that we're gonna do. Some questions. Is we're gonna call this the "Would You Rather" segment? Yeah, some fun questions, just so that everybody can get your personality a little bit.
Here we go.
Okay. Would you rather win at chess or enjoy chess?
Win at chess every day, all day.
Winning chess. So you could be miserable. You'll be a miserable person, and you would just choose, you know, I just want to win chess. Forget everything else.
I just want to win. Listen. When I was younger, there was a song, and I want to live by that song. And that song said, "I want to be the very best that no one ever was." To capture chess pieces is my reason.
You're not
Listen,
teaching the
to
people.
Catch your pieces is my reason. To fork them is my cause.
Make that double.
Yeah, buddy.
This dude.
We talking fork skewers. I guess. And everything.
I mean, I guess you can say Bobby Fischer didn't enjoy playing chess at the end of his career. So, but he still won. So I guess
still
that's.
Won.
No. Yeah, I guess that's.
Oh yeah, definitely winning over enjoyment. But that's because I'm a competitor. I'm big on competition.
Right, and chess, you don't like a person that is outside of the chess world. You don't know how competitive it is, but it's really competitive in chess.
Oh yeah.
Especially if you go to certain tournaments, there's like a straight face, and like you said, you can't really play the person because they're gonna be staring at you like. And it was really intimidating facing like being in the open section as a seventh and eighth grader. And if you just pay attention to that, then you're going to really get scared and intimidated by like a lot of people. So that's why I care about the mindset. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Magnus Carlsen. I'm going to come after you with all my power. Shoot. I don't care. Shoot. I'm going to calculate positions like I never calculated before. Okay. Would you rather, the second question, would you rather lose to a complete beginner or lose in two moves?
I would rather lose in two moves because you have to be really good to pull something like that off. So that's it. Yeah. I'm not listening to the beginner. I'm sorry. It's just not happening.
Okay. I gotcha. Yeah, I would choose losing two moves too. Not gonna lie. Yeah. Nah. That would be insane.
But you know what though? Saying that, no, now listen, now this is the true story. 10th grade, I'll never forget this. The very first time I came in contact with the scholar's mate.
So you did lose to a complete beginner. No, he wasn't a beginner since he knew.
He wasn't a beginner. He did a scholar's mate. And I had never seen that before in my life. I had never seen it before. And I'll never forget, you know, I'm getting all ready, you know, push my pawn. He pushed his pawn. I did something. I probably attacked his pawn. He brought his bishop. I took the pawn. He brought his queen. Yeah. You know, I attacked his bishop and checkmate. And I was like, what? The game is over? Oh man! Oh yeah! No man, that feeling was, oof! I was like, I became infuriated on the inside.
Styles made it something else.
It's bad, man.
Yeah. One thing that I have never done in my whole chess career, I've never got fools made on somebody. I've never fools made
on somebody. You know how hard it is to get a fools made on somebody? Just for the simple fact, the person has to make the moves. They have to make the bad moves.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the irritating part. Like, I got fools made in 3 moves or like 4 moves, but I never got it in the 2 moves. Like, somebody would mess up for me to get into 4 or 3 moves, but not the 2-move one. It's irritating.
Well, I think it's only in 3 moves, right? Isn't the fools make 3 moves?
No, it's like 2 moves because you're playing black to do the fools make. So that's in 2 moves. Right. And for white, I think it is 3 moves. So you are right on that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do another one. Would you rather? this is gonna get you mad. Would you rather change your name to Magnus Carlsen or Bobby Fischer?
Come on, we already know the answer to that question. We already know the answer to that question. They'll call me OG Bobby Fischer.
Why not Magnus Carlsen, no, bro? Why not?
Because I don't care how good Magnus Carlsen is, he is not, I repeat, is not beating Bobby Fischer. Exclamation point.
Yeah, we talk about this every single time, and yeah, I always tease Pete Money about this. Yeah, Magnus Carlsen would whoop Bobby Fischer. I would stand on that, and it's not even that he's better. It's maybe in Bobby Fischer's era. Yeah, Bobby, it would be equal, but still, I think, you know, I don't know if Bobby Fischer was in our era, I don't think he would beat Magnus Carlsen.
I don't think Magnus Carlsen can beat Garry Kasparov.
He already did.
I said.
Next question, bro. Next question. Okay. This is a fun one. Would you rather become the best chess player in the world and be famous and have all the riches, or have the powers of Superman and be hated by everybody?
Powers of Superman, because who's going to tell you they don't like you when you can punch their head off? Just throwing it out there.
Just laser beam them. Oh, you hate me? The whole world is...
Say they hate you.
The whole world is... There's no population because P-Money just...
I can breathe in outer space. I can breathe in outer space. So you don't like me, I'm gonna hit the Earth score.
Go to another planet.
It's like, exactly. So?
I live on the sun. Like, what do you mean?
I mean, that's where you get the power. So you
know. Hey, shoot. Yeah, we all know that. Okay, last one. Would you rather get checkmated or resign?
It depends right. Who it is.
That's salty. That's messed up. That's messed up.
It depends who it is, because there's games where if I feel like I'm better than you, I'm gonna make you work for the checkmate.
Uh-huh.
Right. But if I feel like you just like outright outplayed me, I'm done. I just resign.
For me, it depends on the time control. I would play out the game. I'll be checkmated in bullet, definitely, and depending on the blitz. But in classical game, if I'm just getting outright just beat, I'm not going to take the other hour and see if he's going to checkmate me. I'm resigning, and I did it before. Like, if they're up 2 queens or like, yeah, nah. If I have no pawns, yeah, I'm resigning. You know.
Oh yeah. If somebody has 2 queens against me, at that point, you're gonna play this whole match out. I don't care. I'm already upset that you got 2 queens, so you're playing this out. Yeah, you gotta play that one out.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. because usually it doesn't even get to that point. Yeah.
Right. Right. Right.
I would be petty and resign if they're one move away from checkmate, just so that they don't get that.
I don't like that. I don't like that. Like, don't deny me my checkmate.
Nah. Like, if I did it, it's like one of those moments where on online chess, you do a move and then you don't see a checkmate. I just hurry up and resign. Just, yeah. It's like, nah, you're not getting this satisfaction. This is, nah. I have feelings. I have feelings too. Life. I have feelings too, bro. Like, nah. But, man.
I got a question for you. I got a question for you. If you... If you went against, you know, a famous grandmaster, right? It can be, you know, Magnus Carlsen, Nakamura, or whoever. Would you run the Divanathon against them?
People don't even know what the Divanathon is.
Okay. Oh,
okay.
Spoiler.
Yeah. So I guess I could say now that the Divanathon. I am going to make an episode about this on YouTube, but the Divanathon is when I move the end pawns all the way up, but one square at a time. So I do H3, A3, A4, H4, H5, A6. And so that's what the Divanathon is, right? I do not know. You know what? I would do it. Everybody have to be with it if I did it. Yeah. Yeah, because that's super disrespectful. Especially if it's like, it depends on the setting. If it's online, then sure. If it's like an actual tournament where I'm sitting in front of them, man, that'll take
what
some
if
guts.
You can do like a what if you can do like the like multiple matches, like you can do that.
Oh, yeah,
match
one of them
then...
yeah, one of them be the Divanathon. If it's just one match that I'm playing, I'm not doing that. Yeah,
I can't. Yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah, that's messed up. They would never respect me after that.
That's funny.
Shoot. That would be cool, though, to do that against Magnus. He would be tripping. Shoot. I think it could be Bobby Fischer.
He'd be like, what is he? What is he? Wow. This guy. I'm out.
Shoot. But you know what? Hey, how did you like the podcast, the episode? What you think about it?
Oh, man, first and foremost, I want to thank you for having me here, being able to, you know, tell my story and just to spend this time with you, you know, being able to talk about our journey. And also, I want to congratulate you because I see that you're close to 50K plays, and that is quite the achievement. That is nice. So congratulations on that.
And thank you. It's all the people that's viewing this right now. So that's great. Yeah.
So, and thank the fans, thank the viewers, thank you know the followers, thank you guys for tuning into this channel, so you can learn about this chess knowledge, chess wisdom, chess understanding.
Yeah. Because that's all there is to it. That's what this channel is all about. You know, just learning. Because P Money, he gave some good advice too. You know, I like when I was learning as a young kid, just I learned from people's stories and personalities and how they do things and how they approach things. So this was dope. I'm glad that you enjoyed it. Yeah. And you can come back on anytime that you want.
Woo-hoo.
Hey.
I'm only coming back on for a chess match for the viewers.
Awesome.
We wanna set that up and we can make that happen.
If y'all want to see that in the future, yeah, we're going to set that up on YouTube. Just subscribe to the YouTube channel, Chess Knowledge with H1, and you're going to see me and Patrick, P Money, and we're going to duke it out. Yeah. My bad.
Yeah, it is what it is.
But thank you for joining the Chess Knowledge with H1 podcast. And hey, we're going to be running it back with another episode next time.
Right, bringing it back.
Yeah.
With H1.
Hey, you already know. Shoot. Peace out. Hey. You made it. Thank you for listening to the episode. And you know what? If you like the episode a lot, please follow so that you don't miss out on any new information. And if you're trying to get better at chess, please follow the YouTube channel Chess Knowledge with H1. And guess what? If you really, really like the episode or really, really like the podcast, if you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave a good review so that we can get some more exposure, because this information is for free. Thank you, and I will see you on the next episode. Peace.